World War One on the BBC.
The 30th of June. The bodies of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand and his wife Sophie are being conveyed back to Vienna by river. The local populace line the banks, holding candles. The Daily Mirror.
As the yacht approached with its sad burden, all knelt down. The bells of the village churches tolled, and the priests blessed the cortege as it passed.
In Vienna, they're already wondering how they might use the assassination. Serbia, after all, has been a constant source of trouble for Austria-Hungary. Its desire for a greater South Slav nation under its own leadership has been destabilizing Austria-Hungary's own Croats and Serbs. For many in the Austrian government, the tragedy in Sarajevo is the perfect opportunity to bring its unruly neighbor to heel. Austria-Hungary's chief ally, Germany, is paying close attention. If Serbia is attacked, its protector, Russia, might decide to step in. And if that happens, Germany could easily be dragged into a conflict to support Austria-Hungary. The German ambassador in Vienna reports back to Berlin.
I take every opportunity to advise seriously against too hasty steps. Austria-Hungary does not stand alone in the world. It is her duty to take into consideration not only her allies, but the entire European situation.
But when the Kaiser reads this, he's furious. Franz Ferdinand was a friend, and Serbia must pay for supporting the assassins.
Who authorized him to act that way? That is very stupid. The Serbs must be disposed of, and that right soon.
In Britain, the government is not yet worried about a possible new crisis in the Balkans. The head of the Foreign Office writes,
"The tragedy which has recently occurred at Sarajevo will, I hope, not lead to any further complications."
The British press are more concerned with the conflict closely to hand. The government is trying to get a bill on home rule for Ireland through Parliament. Irish nationalists have been campaigning for Ireland to be ruled from Dublin for years. But opposition from the Protestants in Ulster, and their supporters in Britain, is threatening to derail the process, worse, divide the nation. The Times sees the bill as the last chance.
"It will at least hold out a hope, the last hope, of averting the supreme calamity of civil war."
It's the last day of the Royal Navy's friendly visit to the German base at Kiel. The Navy's Captain Henderson briefs London.
"I think it would not be out of place here to call your attention to the striking progress made by the German Navy in sports and games. Speaking generally, our men were entirely outclassed in all the usual sports, running, jumping, and in the tug of war, the Germans simply walked away with us. The Germans have systematically invaded what we have hitherto regarded as our national preserve, the realm of sport."
As the British squadron steams out of the harbour, the German admiral sends a message.
"Best wishes for a pleasant journey."
His British counterpart thanks him and makes a promise.
"Comrades in the past and always."
Their two countries will be at war in just over 5 weeks.